are listening to Radio Maria, and this is Father Toby with your word for today. And let's begin with today's gospel, which is taken from John chapter 6 from the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. But as I have told you, you can see me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I shall not turn him away, because I have come from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Now the will of him who sent me is that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, and that I should raise it up on the last day. Yes, it is my Father's will, that whoever sees the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and that I shall raise him up on the last day." So I've just recently finished reading the biography of David Foster Wallace, who you will have heard me mention in a number of Word for Todays recently. He's one of my favourite writers. He wrote a massive, massive book called Infinite Jest, which I when I started it for the first time, I got about 200 pages in, was convinced of its brilliance, and put it down and couldn't carry on with it. I just found it a bit too hard work, a bit too difficult. But I was convinced that he had something profoundly important to say. And so when I was in Rome and writing my thesis on depression and the relationship of depression with the spiritual vice identified, first of all, by the desert father, Evagrius, is one of the eight demons that attack us, or eight evil thoughts, logismoi of Achadia, and looking at how that developed in the thought of Cassian, and then St. Thomas Aquinas' treatment to it. And I was interested in what connections Achadia might have to depression. And Wallace suffered from depression throughout most of his life. There weren't many years where in his adulthood where he didn't have some form of depressive episode or other. And he very sadly sort of took his own life in the end. And this made the reading of sort of biography particularly sad in a way that sort of other biographies that I've read, I've not experienced such sadness reading, because towards the end of the book, as you're running out of pages and things seem to be going quite well, and yet you're aware there's not that much time left for him to come to a state where he's going to take his own life, and that's just such a desperately sad situation for anybody to find themselves in. And one of the things that you realize was that he wasn't talking to people about how he really felt. So anybody who is suffering with depressive thoughts of that type, then please do speak to someone. It's so important, and there is help out there for people who need it. And you can always phone the Samaritans on 116 123. But one of the things that Foster Wallace identified that makes him so fascinating to me is a sort of a cultural Achadia that seemed to be prevalent in our society. A loss of meaning, a search for entertainment, but with no greater purpose to it. And as I've said, I just so long that he'd found a compelling witness to the truth and the goodness of the gospel. But it's true that we can't really live and face the reality of our situation and be happy about it unless we have some hope of someone who can change things. And in Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, we hear the words of hope. Jesus doesn't promise us a sort of a tactic for being better, or a better diversion, or a better entertainment. Rather, he offers us his very self. And so that's why it's so important that he starts this bread of life discourse with the words, "I am the bread of life." It's not that he's going to give us some bread that will feed us, but rather the bread of life, and therefore life, is found by a participation in Christ. And that notion of life being found in participation in the life of another is repugnant to some, just as the words where Jesus says that I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. The idea of living in the will of another, of finding our joy in doing the will of another, is a difficult thing for us to grasp in a society which has placed a huge premium on autonomy and individualism. And these concepts of autonomy and individualism, in fact, they arise out of Christianity. Now, the concern with the individual was certainly not something that was present in the Roman Empire. But the problem is when these good things, like respecting the individual, a respect for the autonomy of another, lose their anchoring in the person of Jesus Christ, lose their anchoring in the will of God the Father, then they become sort of corrosive concepts for us, and ones which don't actually lead to our flourishing and to our great fulfillment, but rather lead us to feel very alone. And Tara Isabella Burton is a very interesting writer and picks up on social trends. She has a book called Self-Made, and I've not read the book, but I've listened to interviews with her about it, and she characterizes the modern self as being one which rejects the idea of deification by participation in the life of Christ, by receiving the bread of life and therefore participating in Christ, but instead very much echoing that first sin of Adam and Eve, prompted by the temptings of the serpent in the garden, who causes Adam and Eve to be suspicious of the goodness of God. Promises them that if they eat the fruit, then they shall be like gods. And God does want us to be like gods, but he wants us to be like gods by participating in his life, by knowing that intimate love and knowledge that the persons of the Trinity know. But instead, in so many of our sinful ways, we seek to become like gods to ourselves, gods independent of God, which of course shuts us off from life, shuts us off from the source of love in the world. And so for all of us, it requires this sort of undergoing process of conversion, where we seek less to make ourselves in our own image, but rather conform to the one whose image we've been made in. And the great paradox, but not a hypothetical paradox, but one that we can see, is in the lives of the saints, because the saints are those who've conformed most closely to Christ, and yet the saints are such a rich variety of individuals, never boring, but rather show that conformity to Christ actually leads to true individuality and to true human flourishing. So to join me in sort of prayer for David Foster Wallace, who has taught me so much about what it is to be human in his books and his writings, and pray that those who enjoy his writings so much might come to know the peace in Christ which was denied David Foster Wallace in this life.
You've been listening to a podcast from Radio Maria. If you enjoy these programs, please consider becoming one of our monthly donors. All you need to do is visit www.radiomariaengland.uk and click on the Support Us tab for various options. We rely entirely on donations, so thank you to all our listeners who support us.